Well, Deb Jones joins the program now. Hi, Deb. How are you?
Hi, Luke. Hi, everyone.
Deb,
excited to be here talking to you.
Well, I'm excited to have you because you're part of the exhibition opening tonight over at the Launch Pad called Correspondence. Tell me about it. What is the concept of this exhibition?
Well, I am one of the initiating artists, and the curator, Raina Katzenberger, brought us together to do this collaborative process, which culminates in the exhibition itself. But it really is a journey of corresponding to one another, these partner artists, via the postal system. And, you know, sort of this physical exchange, but also this intimacy and story, writing back and forth to one another, and having that be the only communication that you have. And, I mean, part of the concept is reminding us about slowing down, about non-electrical, non-digital, about a movement, the Fluxus movement, which was back in the early 60s, and the idea of mail art, of sending art through another kind of system where your audience was unknown and random in a sense. So that's part of what was is going on here.
Did you set any ground rules beforehand? I mean, first let's specify your partner artist was Lori Doctor. Were you aware of Lori Doctor prior to this? Did you know her? And did you put up any ground rules beforehand about this process?
So Lori Doctor is a pretty special person in my life. She actually is my teacher in terms of my art career and art process. And I brought her here to the Roaring Fork Valley maybe in 2005 when I was directing the Wiley Community Arts Center, which is now the Art Base. Brought Lori, who is an amazing calligrapher and painter, had been in Boulder for 30 years and then moved to Kentucky. And she came here and taught and is just really exceptional for me in terms of understanding what it means to do daily practice and to be true to your own art making. I knew her, and we're friends and colleagues and are in touch with one another during the year because I'll take a class from her, or I'll help her come and put a class together. And so we did sit down together in October once I'd become an initiating artist, and I asked her if she would be willing to do this process with me. And so we did sit down and do ground rules, probably different than some of the other artists that people are going to see in the exhibition. We did put together, decided on sort of a monthly rhythm that one person would send, the other would respond within sort of a 2-week period. We got organized. And we also did a format. We did a 7x7 format. We also chose to exchange our discoveries in the natural world together, and that we would go out into our woods or our locale where we are, she in the Kentucky woods and me up on Basalt Mountain at the end of a rural road where I live, and we would communicate to one another about our being in that space. And again, really absent of when working in the studio on the piece, no electronic equipment, and being very focused. Honoring her, the way that she sets up her classes and her working. So that's what we did, and they're really interesting sort of fold-out 7x7s that the viewer will see, writing along with imagery. Lori's a beautiful calligrapher, and that's really an exceptional part of her pieces.
I see. So you would receive a piece that Lori made, and you would contemplate that, and you would go out into your woods and contemplate that and fashion a response. And
yes.
And then you would send that to her, and then she would repeat that process at her end.
Yes. Then we did that over 7 months.
7 months. Huh. So it spanned the seasons. It wasn't just a summertime thing. It was more than that.
No, we started in October, and so it actually really does talk about the seasons. And so it was interesting for me, Luke, because it wasn't like I was writing my best friend a letter about what was going on, like in my family, in my relationships, health-wise. It was a little bit more ethereal and talking about discovery and observation. So we did get, I probably got maybe a little bit more personal, and even towards the end, I mean, it'll be interesting for me to hear what viewers think about the last piece that we did, which is really quite emotional and much more personal than the other pieces in the beginning.
Huh. So the visitor to the exhibition will see all the pieces that you and Lori exchanged chronologically.
Yes. Say that again.
Chronologically.
Yes, the curator Raina Katzenberger has set it up chronologically. So along with our pieces, there's going to be the pieces from the other artists in the show exhibited together, installed together. In a time, timely. So you'll start with the month, and it'll be, I believe, displayed what month we're talking about, and move through the exhibition, which is not, you know, big, bright, easy to view art. It's really about reading and getting into the space of these artist exchanges.
Huh. Do you think you would have been able to produce the art you did if you had not known Lori beforehand?
If I had been working with an artist that I didn't know?
Yes.
Yes, I do think so, because I'm a practicing artist. And but, you know, that's a really good question, because for me, the intimacy and the exchange of story and knowing one another was certainly important in our process. And I think probably working with an artist that I didn't know, you would have watched the evolution of a relationship beginning.
Interesting. Now, did you do these, did you produce these pieces in all media? Did you limit it to pastels or acrylics or whatever within that within that 7x7 format?
So, for me, I am a mixed media artist and a collage artist. So I did paint, different kinds of paint and some thread and torn paper, mixed media, very much like my work that I do elsewhere. And that was true for Lori. She is a painter, and her medium really is the letter making and the development of different kinds of alphabets and the use of different kinds of instruments to make letters.
Huh. And all of that came into play for her.
Yes. Yes, it did.
I see.
And she's a beautiful artist. Her pieces, you know, they would come in the mail. And for me, and we talked about this finally after May 1st, when we could speak again. And it was a fairly emotional conversation, because it was the first time we were hearing each other's voice after those 7 months. And her pieces were so, I mean, I couldn't wait to get them. And she felt the same way. And when they'd come, my husband actually would get the mail and call me and say, there's a Lori's piece, her next pieces come. It was a really great 7 months of getting these gifts, you know, once a month. I loved it.
So I imagine this did sort of slow you down, because it's not the instant digital world that we all know and sometimes hate these days.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that, I mean, it was also this sort of feeling of going back to, you know, to the 1800s, how people operated before the telephone. But I think this kind of dialogue, you know, in retrospect, you take a look, and she and I have talked about this, of what our winter and our spring was like, what was going on in the other parts of our life. And this became a very important dialogue of simplicity and sort of clear and easy. And again, that intimacy part was important.
I see a part of this playing out as sort of a differing concept of what an audience for your art is. And in the making of this art, you were not making anything for a gallery audience. You were making something for one person.
And that's true. We had to be reminded by our curator, however, because we all knew that there would be an exhibition.
Okay.
And we were reminded to let go of the outcome, to really let go of the product. Now, that's a challenging thing, too, for artists. Both Lori and I are professional artists who have exhibited over the years. But I really had to get into that space where I had to get more playful with what I was doing and remind myself that, yes, I wanted to tell Lori something, just her.
Huh. I'm intrigued by the idea that you had to get more playful. Talk more about that.
Well, I know for me that if I have a deadline and it is going to be, let's say, for an exhibition, and I am making the work knowing that it's going to be exhibited in such and such gallery or wherever, you know, I am influenced by what people will think constantly. And I like to be able to be in the studio and to not have that operating. And so actually for me as an artist in these last years, I have declined doing exhibitions because I am in a place now in my life where I have time to be in the studio. I'm no longer doing my community art center work, community art education, where I wanted to have this space to make work for the sake of making the work and not have this other pressure. Now, interesting enough, Luke, it's that I tend to be a little bit more prolific when I have some pressure and I have a deadline. So it's been a fascinating process to go through.
Wow.
To train myself.
That's really interesting. So did the work become a little more, dreamy as a result of that?
No, you know, my work could be maybe more experimental. But no, I think that really I just have a more, less sort of frantic approach to it and feel like I can experiment and do anything and try it out. You know, the work that I'm doing now in the studio happens to be about climate change in the Antarctica, and that's something that I'm very interested in, and I love all those. I'm so attracted to the images, the sort of horrifying images of the breakup of the glaciers. And so that's something I'm working on and really doing it over a long period of time and really trying to not feel the pressure, but really look at what is my connection and relationship with this theme.
Interesting.
It's not very greeny.
Yeah. Well, you know, one of my questions for you was going to be, did this process for correspondence has it affected your artistic process or your inspiration? It sounds to me, based on what you've said, that the slam dunk answer is yes. And it sounds to me also that it's an incredible lesson that you learned. Do you think Lori learned that too?
Well, I think it just really substantiated the idea of doing practice in your life. Now, this isn't daily practice. This became sort of a bi-monthly practice. And that really does contribute to your nurturing your imagination and being in the studio. Mail art, for me, this idea of actually the mail and your posting of the artwork, getting those markings on there and the possible delay and losses and that process of the mail art. I did mail art in the 70s, a lot of it. So that wasn't new for me, but it was really nice to come back to it because I hadn't done it for quite a while.
Well, from the outside looking in, I have to say it's rather heartening that mail art can still be relevant to an artist in a new millennium. That's incredible.
Yeah, and you know, I just need to do a bit of a shout-out to the post mistresses at the Basalt Post Office. They were lovely, and they were so accepting and really helped me because they do have they have more regulations than they did 30 years ago. And but they really worked with me, and they would comment on it. And, you know, I'm going to bring them I'm hoping that they're going to come to the opening and maybe at least come to the show this month. I'm going to make sure that I remind them about this exhibition. That was pretty great because I have worked with postal people who just really, this process bothered them. You know, it wasn't following the regulations.
So they were stretching out just as you and Lori were.
Yeah, I mean, they were very, very, so very nice about it.
Oh, that's great. I was perusing your website, DeborahJonesArt.com. That's Deborah, D-E-B-O-R-A-H, JonesArt.com. You mentioned process a little bit earlier. You're big on process. I noticed that you do a morning journal practice, a daily practice. Is that something that you had from the beginning, or did you discover that along your artistic way?
That particular, the morning journal process and my making that special hand-bound journal, I've been doing every morning for 2.5 years.
Oh.
And that really does come from my working with Lori Doctor and having her as my teacher. Though I had worked with her for many, many years, and she was always talking about this idea of doing a daily practice where you come to your art and you don't have other stimulus and you really do let go of outcome. And she does really include a lot of writing in her process. And so in 2.5 years ago, before I left the country and I went to India for a month, I decided that trip to India was a good time to start. And so I do write. I cover my writing a lot with the paint. And then I do make a specific mark, which is the same mark each day, which for me is a symbol of balancing mind, body, spirit.
Interesting.
And sometimes I'm really good and not distracted, Luke, and other mornings I get up from my chair a bit.
Mm-hmm. Now, is the intention to have those artistic artifacts, those morning daily journals, as something that is for sale, or is this just a personal thing that you do to get ready to produce the art that you make your living from?
You know, it is really very, it's personal. They're not for sale, though I do, in collaboration with the project shop in Carbondale, I've made an edition of blank morning journals with a description of Lori's idea of morning practice. And those are for sale blank for people to do that process. But these journals are mine, and my poor children will have to do something with them one day.
Lori, lastly, I want to ask, you've been making art in the Roaring Fork Valley since the 70s at Aspen Community School, and also, as you mentioned, the founder of the Wiley Arts, which is now Art Base. How does the art scene look to you in the Roaring Fork Valley these days?
It looks great. I think it looks great. I think that you've got community art happening in all the different locales from Aspen to Glenwood, though Glenwood's Art Center is going through some transformation right now. Look at Carbondale Art and where it's going, and couldn't be prouder of the Art Base and the staff there taking the former Wiley into a whole new realm. I think also professionally there's quality and good art in this valley. And, from the museums, to the museum and Anderson Ranch Art Center. I think we're so, so very fortunate in this valley.
That sounds great. Deb Jones, I want to thank you for joining Express Yourself today. A very interesting process that you've done, and looking forward to seeing your work over there at the launch pad.
Great. Thanks so much, Luke.